Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock.
What was that? He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the chorus. He hideth my in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeremiah. Thank you, Mrs. Tyner. Good seeing our young people trying to get involved and being willing to serve. We appreciate that, watching them grow up. I enjoyed the message this morning. I know it spoke to my heart, and I'm looking forward to the one this evening. Brother Aguiar, why don't you come at this time? If you would have your Bibles out, I know you'll receive a blessing. Did we dismiss our kids yet? Okay, we're dismiss the children to the children's class tonight.
Okay. Having your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, Revelation chapter number 10. Revelation chapter number 10. Good to be with you this evening. Appreciate all that God has done and what has taken place. And it's always good to see young folks serving the Lord and singing. I always enjoy it. And it's just a blessing being over this way. Appreciate the good meal we had today and the good time of fellowship. And it's just been a blessing. Appreciate the church as you've taken a part in our ministry as we've helped small churches. We had opportunity this last year, 2019, and we was near Chicago, about an hour and 15 minutes from Chicago. And we set up the old gospel tent on the public school front lawn, preaching the Word of God. And a lot of folks said, you can't do that. Well, we did. And we went for about 3 or 4 days just preaching. And I was a little bit reluctant because I don't like limitations, if you know what I'm saying. If somebody's going to say, well, you can't preach this and can't preach this. And so I asked the preacher, I said, preacher, I don't mind setting up the tent on the lawn of the public school, but what are the limitations? What are they saying we can't do or can do? He said, Brother Aguiar, they said we can do anything we want, except you cannot have your camper on the public school lawn. And I said, well, I think I can live with that. So we went ahead and said, it was the main road of town. I mean, everybody goes right past that public school every day. It's the main road going through that particular town, Freeport, Illinois.
And it was just amazing. We had visitors and folks came. We actually had to make up special visitors card because all the folks that was coming, we wanted to know how they found out. Some folks said, well, we just saw the tent and one was wondering what was going on. We had big sign services at 7 o'clock and it just worked out. They sent out mail odds and ends and folks got it in the mail. And it's just amazing, but God went ahead and blessed. We had folks getting saved by the grace of God. It's a blessing when we see folks saved. But you know, sometimes in our ministry, I might be a person of little faith. I always ask myself, did we help the church? You know, when we leave and, you know, we're going to the next one, I think in my mind, did we really help the church? Did it make the church where they'll go on? Or did I hurt it? Did I, you know, and it's always a thought in my mind. And I never will forget, after we left that church on a Friday, I had to head to another meeting. We was having tent meetings and setting up the tent. That Sunday afternoon, the preacher calls me. I said, "Preacher, how you doing?" And he says, "Brother Aguirre, you know, we had that tent meeting last week." I said, "Yes, sir. I was going to give you a call and just find out, you know, how things are with the church. I hope I didn't split the church, you know." And he said, "Brother Aguirre, because of that tent meeting, we had first-time visitors come in." He said, "Not only did they come in, but I preached the gospel, the pastor told me." He said, "And we had some to get saved that morning." He says, "I'm baptizing some tonight in the evening service." Well, that's a blessing and, you know, that's an encouragement. The next week he calls me. He said, "Brother Aguirre, we have more first-time visitors." And I mean, this is after they had he said, "We had more to get saved and we're having baptism again." And so, what a blessing. I like it when God gets in on things. And so, we just appreciate what God's doing. But you're a part of that. You help us to where we can go set up the gospel tent with some smaller churches and just try to be a blessing and encouragement. And we just want to express our appreciation and our gratitude for it. And what a blessing it is. I will remind you, we have the Bible table. There's two Bibles I'm going to make mention of tonight. For those of you that like to take notes, we have the journal Bible. And on both sides, there's a spot where you can go ahead. And if you like taking notes of it, we do have that Bible available. Also, for those up in age and you say that journal Bible, the print's a little bit too small, we have the large print wide margin Bible. And I said that for one reason. A lot of folks last year, they asked me, is there a Bible where I can take notes? Is there a Bible where I can put what the preacher preaches in it? And so we do have those available. Other Bibles back there. I'll mention them each night, a different Bible. But I hope it might be a blessing to you. Just trying to get the Word of God out to different homes and different lives. And if that could be a blessing, they're available there. Revelation chapter number 10, if you're able to, stand with me. Let's read a portion from the Word of God. Revelation chapter number 10, this last year, 2019, in one of the tent meetings, the pastor asked me, I knew about it a year in advance. He says, "Is there any way you could preach on prophecy in a tent meeting?" And I said, "Sure, I'll be glad to." And so I preached on prophecy one tent meeting. I went ahead and took the scriptures and showed where America's going to be. I'm not doing that tonight. You'll have to wait some other time. But we went through all the different things, and I came across chapter 10. And there's an interesting thought I like to deal with this evening. Chapter 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, "I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." If you notice verse 6, that last little phrase got my attention, that there should be time no longer. I want to preach tonight on this thought, when time runs out. The clock is ticking, but one day time is going to run out. Let's go have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the message. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity of gathering in your house. Thank you for the good songs that we've enjoyed already. Lord, the special music. Father, thank you for each one that has taken a part in the service. Some have come tonight. Lord, we look to hear from heaven. We look to hear from you tonight. So I pray you take the message of the Word of God and use it for your honor and your glory. Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, as we think for just a moment, as the clock is ticking, there's coming a day when time will run out. I pray, Lord, you'll help this truth to become reality in our life. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Interesting. Chapter 10 of the book of Revelation, there's a lot that can be said, and I'm not going to expound on a whole bunch of thoughts up to this point, but I will say this. Chapter number 10 is a very interesting chapter, but we think for just a moment. Person said, Brother Aguiar, where are we at in regards to the book of Revelation? Where are we at? I believe we're right at the ending part of chapter number 3, and that is the time of the church age. I believe we're living in the time of the church age, and the Laodicean church is the one that is predominant at this time, and the Laodicean church is known as the people's rights. Everybody has their rights. Everybody has their opinion. Everybody wants to make known what they think. And this is the time, I believe, we're living in. We're not living right now in the tribulation period. I don't believe we'll go through the tribulation period, for God hath not appointed His children unto wrath. As you read the book of Revelation, you'll find chapter 3 ends with the church. Chapter 4, there's a great trump that says, come up hither. And we find that John is brought. And I believe the very next event on the calendar of God is the rapture of those that have been saved by the grace of God. If you're saved tonight, there's a possibility we will not see death. A great possibility. But I'm just thinking for a moment about this thought of being raptured out. And that's what chapter 4 brings out. You read the rest of chapter 4, we notice what takes place with a believer as he's surrounded around the throne of God, the rainbow that's around the throne of God. We see the beast crying out, holy, holy. We notice there's a judgment scene where crowns will be given. And my, we'll take those crowns as those 24 elders and we'll cast them at the Lord's feet, a time that we can give back to the Lord what we've done here on this earth. I'm just thinking that's chapter number 5. Found of in Revelation. Chapter 6 starts the tribulation time. As I said, we will not be here. A time when God goes ahead and brings judgment to this earth. A time when God literally begins to shake this earth. And my, things that we thought would never take place will happen on that day. And my, could I say there's going to be many people that's going to die. Over 3.8 billion people will die on planet earth between chapter number 6 and chapter number 10. But we come to chapter 10. And we find this one as he lifts his hand towards heaven, the right foot found on the sea, the left foot found on this earth, and he swears on this thought that time will be no longer. I have to admit, there's many things in the Bible I don't fully understand. There's a lot of things that is written in the Word of God I do not understand. You say, Brother Aguiar, what do you do with the things that you do not understand? I take it by faith that God is still true. But one of the things that's hard for me to grasp, one of the things that's hard for me to grab a hold of, is the everlasting God. The God of eternity past, the God of eternity future. You see, my life, I mean, we think for just a moment, we know what it's like for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Maybe some might just go over a little bit than 100, but that's about what we know of as time. We don't really understand a God of eternity past, but He is a God of eternity past. I don't understand how about a God of eternity future. My mind is in a time slot. It's a spot where I'm thinking 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years. But I don't understand this thought completely of eternity future. But I accept it. But I'm just thinking for a moment how the God of eternity past, the God of eternity future, steps out of that eternity past, steps out of that eternity future, and he steps and places himself in time. And for about 6,000 years, the God of eternity past has went ahead and detoured himself into a spot called time. For in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Then you find out evening and morning was the first day. A God of eternity past places himself in time. And about 6,000 years or so has passed, 6,000 years, and God has went ahead and placed himself. You see all through the Word of God about time. You see about all the things, how God has went ahead and placed himself in time. But there's coming a day when God will step out of time, and time will be no more. As I'm thinking for just a moment on this thought, I'm just thinking about how the clock is ticking. I'm thinking about how the hands on the clock are moving. I'm thinking for just a moment, you probably have a digital clock or a phone, and the numbers are going. But there's coming a day when time will be no more. And as I was thinking on this, I started thinking about things that come to an end. Things that have stopped, and there's no more time for certain things to take place. Could I give you the first one? If you're in the book of Revelation, you could turn with me to chapter number 2, Revelation chapter number 2. Found in this passage of Scripture, there's a time when engaging in the service of the church will one day be over. I'm thankful we have a church that we can come to. I'm thankful we can meet tonight. I'm thankful we can go ahead and sing the song. I'm thankful for all that takes place. But I do find there's many times that churches are no longer going, and their time has ran out. If you'll notice in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, here Jesus says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly," notice, "and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Hey, listen, there's coming a time when maybe it is the church will no longer be around. I've been in places where I've seen churches literally dissolved. I've been in places where I've seen them literally stop. You say, "Brother Aguiar, there's no way. Things are going good. Everything's going great." I find out when sin gets in, when the devil works, and there could be a time when churches no longer will be engaged in the service. You say, "I don't believe it." Well, if I could remind you, at one time the land of England had some of the greatest preachers that we've ever known of. At one time, England had a preacher. Many of you heard of Charles Spurgeon. Many preachers even quote from him, even mention things about other great preachers, other great churches that was there. At one time, England was the main place that sent missionaries around the world preaching the Word of God. At one time, England was the great lighthouse all around, giving out the gospel, shining forth with the Word of God. But today, step over into England. Today, step over into that place. You'll not find it going ahead and booming. You won't find it going ahead and having multitudes of folks coming to a church. You'll find the churches that are closed down. You'll find the churches that are boarded up. I'm saying here, there comes a time we got to be careful. Here, engage while you got a chance in the service of the church. While you have opportunity, I would get involved in its membership. I would take a part in it. Hey, listen, here it is. God's blessed you with a church here in Sebring. God's went ahead and done some great things. Hey, you need to get involved in its membership. My, go ahead and take a spot. You don't need to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approach. Oh, I'm saying get involved in its membership. Get involved in its stewardship. Oh, I'm thinking for just a moment how many Christians have disregarded the maintenance of the church. I'm saying we don't have much time left. We need to get involved, engage in the service of the saints. It's membership, it's stewardship, it's fellowship. The other night we had some fish. You know, I'm glad fellowship also involves bellyship. Something about Baptists. Boy, Baptists will have more fellowships than you can shake a stick at. Boy, we like to eat. But you know, there's one thing when we eat together, we fellowship together. You know, one of the things that helped the early church to really get going, to really go ahead and take a great part in that community was the fellowship one with another. It's important we have the right fellowship. Oh, engage in its membership, in its fellowship, in its workmanship. I'm saying it's good to get involved in its discipleship. I'm just thinking here, there's coming a day and we need to be careful. But here, there's coming a day we need to get involved while we have opportunity. Some have hurt the church. Could I say you need to just go ahead and jump in? You say, well, what if I don't agree with it? Could I say you don't agree with a lot of things? I don't agree with a lot of things that take place in my life. My wife and I, we even have different disagreements. I mean, we're married, we're one, God went ahead and joined. But you know, there's some things that we differ on. Your husband and wife, some y'all might have some problems. Your wife, she's so sweet to you though, she won't tell you about it. But she can't stand the way you squeeze the tube of toothpaste from the middle. You say, that's crazy. I'm just saying there's differences. But what we need to do is put aside the differences and let's get the job done. There's folks that need to be saved. There's Christians that need to be encouraged. There's saints that need to be edified. I'm thinking for a moment here, there's coming a day when no more, there'll be no time to engage in the service of the saints. I give you another thought. There's coming a day when there'll be no more time to encourage a sinner to Christ. It is interesting, as you read the Word of God, I believe the rapture is the next event on the calendar of God. And here, when that rapture takes place, the saved is taken out of here. Do you realize, according to the book of 2 Thessalonians, those that heard the gospel, they said no. Do you realize that God will send them strong delusion that they'll believe a lie? I'm saying now's the time. We got to go ahead and hurry. We got to encourage sinners to come to Christ. We got to do the most we can. Hey, listen, take the cards that are there and maybe pass them out. You say, I don't know how to witness to somebody. Go ahead and pass out the cards. Let them, maybe they'll come to church, hear the Word of God, get saved by the grace of God. If we could just get Christians involved, we don't have much time to encourage a sinner to Christ. I'm reminded of a church where I went and preached many years ago. I have this one church we've preached at longer than what we've been here. We've been able to come here for about 27, 28 years. And it's been off and on. It hasn't been every year. Last few years it has been every year. But I'm thinking we have a church that I've preached a revival for it every year for the past 28, 29 years. Whether they want a revival or not, they say, I have to come. And my, we'll go there. There's times they did not want a revival. There's times they didn't, they were just doing it because, well, we got to have it. They got to have a fall revival. That's the way they have it. But when God stepped in and God saved souls and God worked in the church and God brought unity. And I've seen that church, boy, we had one time, God stepped in the middle of the revival and we had 22 days that we went in revival services. God just blessed. I'm talking about every night, Saturday night, every night there was of the week, God came in. And my, what a blessing. But I'm thinking for just a moment, there's a lot of folks that got saved. But some folks won't have that opportunity if the rapture takes place. While we have opportunity, we need to give them the gospel. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 7, we find the land of Samaria is besieged by the Syrians. They've came and the army has went ahead and camped all around that city. The city was a walled city, very high walls, very thick walls. There's no way an army can just bust through. It would have taken too much. Too many men would have died. So what they did, the Syrian army camped outside the gates all around that huge city. Though the walls were tall, though the walls were thick, here it is, they said, we'll starve them out. And so we read in Scripture, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, we read about how the price of living begins to go up. They begin eat things that we thought they never would eat. They begin to go ahead and the nutrition value begin to go down in their life. Many of them got weak. I'm just looking at all the problem. But there were four leopards that were on the outside of the city. They had a spot connected to the city, but they were on the outside. And they said this, "Why sit we here until we die? Why are we just going to sit here? We got to get some help. We got to do some." So they decided, if we go to the city, there's nothing there. They're starving. Let's go and fall into the hands of the Syrians. Maybe they'll take us alive. Maybe we'll become prisoners. But at least they feed their prisoners. And so they go to the camp. They get into the uttermost part of the camp. And there it is. Nobody was around. So they walk into a tent. Here's the Syrian tent, and there's a table spread with food. Now, I don't know what the Syrians eat, but I'm just imagining, to a person that's starving, anything looks good. I don't know if there's mashed potatoes and green beans and maybe salad and maybe some type of meat. I don't know if there was cornbread and pork and beans I don't know what there was, but I know one thing. They begin to eat at that table. My, here they're starving. They saw the food. They saw the drink. My, they begin to enjoy the food. They begin to enjoy what's been taking place. And I have to admit, I've done the same thing. I've enjoyed eating at the Word of God. I've enjoyed eating the things as preachers preach. And my, it just helps my soul. It helps my life to where I can live more for God. I enjoyed eating at the table. Every preacher gives a different type of meal. You know what I'm talking about. But I found out it's pretty good. You ought to try some different things. But anyway, here, I'm just thinking these leopards, they're enjoying the goodness that they're found here. And then all of a sudden they're looking. They find some silver. They grab the silver. They put it in their pocket. They find some gold and they put it in their pocket. Boy, here it is. Now their pockets are bulging a little bit from the silver and gold. And you know, I start to think for just a moment. Not only has God been good to me and taking care of us and feeding us, but He has given a little bit of silver and gold. It might not be much. It might be a little dust more than gold. But I'm thinking God's been good. And He's given us something to ride in to come to church. He's given us a house to where we can live. I'm thinking about the goodness of God. And I'm just thinking here these leopards are rejoicing over what God has done. While they're in the tent, they also notice there's a nice piece of garment. And boy, they look at it. Here is one of these leopards they tried on. Boy, he looks pretty good. You know what I found in churches? Y'all dress up pretty good. Y'all look pretty decent. God's been so good to you. He's been good to me. He's went ahead and clothed us. He's not only fed us. He's not only given some money in our pocket, given us some things, but He's also went ahead and dressed us up. We look pretty good. And I'm just thinking about all these blessings. They go out of that tent. They go into another tent. And my, here there's more food. This person eats things a little different. And boy, they're enjoying that. There's gold. There's silver. There's the garment. And my, they're going from one tent to another. They're enjoying the blessings of God. Just like what we have been doing. And what we'll do this week. Enjoying the blessings of God. But one of them goes ahead and says, wait a minute, stop. Here's this leper. He has garments on his arm. His pockets are bulging. And he says, what's the matter? He says, we do not well. What do you mean we do not well? He says, we do not well. Today's a day of good tidings. And my, here it is, the city. It's ready to die. There's going to be folks that's going to die tonight. We need to tell somebody of the goodness of God. I'm thinking for just a moment, if God's went ahead and blessed your life, if God's went ahead and clothed your back, if God gave you some food today, we need to tell somebody of the goodness of God. We need to tell somebody that there's a God in heaven that cares about them. It's not just me and mine. Oh, but there's a God that so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's not just the propitiation for my sins, but the sins of the whole world. While we have opportunity, the clock is ticking. We need to tell folks about the good grace of God. As I'm thinking for just a moment, there comes a time when time will be no more. We won't be able to engage in the service. We won't be able to go ahead and encourage the sinner. And then I notice there's a time that comes when we won't be able to express our sorrow. We live in a day when there's problems among kinfolk. We live in a day when there's problems among church folks. We live in a day when this person gets upset with this person, they leave the church. We live in a time where families, different members have not spoken one with another for years upon years. And I'm just thinking for a moment, you realize there comes a time when you can't express the sorrow anymore? You can't go ahead and whether you're right or whether they're right, it doesn't matter. But there comes a time when that expression of sorrow will no longer be there. I'm thinking for just a moment as I went ahead and there was a mother that passed away. As we was there in the hospital and they went ahead and made known that she was brain dead, the children were called. And I never will forget as I saw one of the youngins, he was in prison for many years. He was able to come, but he was in shackles. His feet were shackled, his hands were shackled. And as he came over to the bed to go ahead and hug his mother, he couldn't even hug her completely, being shackled. And my hear as he begins to say, "Mama, I'm sorry, I wish I could have been here, I wish..." And he starts to think about his life. It's too late to express sorrow. Watched the same mother as a funeral took place, and one of the daughters, they had some quarreling and some bickering, some fussing, but yet they stuck a letter in the sleeve of the mama there in the casket. And there it is, the apology that may have been placed there in her sleeve. Could I say this? Mama never had opportunity of seeing it. Mama never had opportunity of reading it. I'm saying this, while Mama's alive, while the different ones are alive, we need to express our sorrow. We need to get things right. We need to bring a cord once again back in the home. While there's time, the clock is ticking, and here it is. Soon we won't be able to express our sorrow. I'm just thinking, as I made mention of King David this morning, as his son was fighting with him, as his son ended up, he had long hair, the Bible says. And there as he went more or less trying to get away and rode on a mule trying to get away from the army, and his hair, as thick as it was, got caught in an oak tree, and there he was hanging as the mule walked on. Lester Olof preached a message, "The day God hung a hippie or the day the mule walked on." And there as one of the soldiers threw the darts, put it right through his heart. And now Absalom is dead. And when David heard about it, if we could go to his chamber, as he begins to weep and cries out to God, oh Absalom, my son, would to God I would have died in your place. It's too late to express the sorrow. Listen, tonight, while you have opportunity, you need to express the sorrow. While you have opportunity, it'd be good to make things right. While you have the opportunity, there's church members. My, they bickered and fussed. They went ahead and got upset one with another. Hey, listen, do you realize you might not like me? I might not be the best person there is. But if you've been saved, you're going to have to put up with me for eternity. Maybe God will let me live right beside you. Oh, I'm just thinking for a moment here. We just need to go ahead and express the sorrow. While there's time, the clock is ticking. We don't have much time left to express our sorrow. I think for just a moment, we don't have much time to engage in the service. We need to do it while we have to encourage a sinner to go ahead and express sorrow. And we don't have much time left to examine ourselves. A lot of folks will go through life never examining themselves. I think for just a moment, the Bible says to go ahead and examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. It'd be good for you to examine yourself with the Word of God. There was a young man by the name of Samson. He was the hero of the day. God blessed Samson in so many mighty ways. And Samson was the strong man. He was the one that was going to deliver the children of Israel. He had a lot of great potential in his life. But Samson played with sin. Samson got involved with the wrong group. Samson went ahead and did so many things. He never examined himself if he was right with God. The end result, we find him there at Delilah's place. We find him making mention of his strength. We find him now sleeping on the lap of Delilah, and she calls for a person to come and shave 7 locks of his hair off. And could you imagine as the last lock is shaved off, and that person that cut it has shaved him has now moved away. And she says, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He said, "I'll get up just like I have before. I'll take care of these Philistines." He remembered the time when they was coming after him. He grabbed the gate of the city. He just took it right off the hinges. He was the strong man. He remembered the day when 1,000 of them was gathered around, grabbed the jawbone of a donkey, and literally made his way out, killed 1,000 men. He said, "I'm going to do it just like I did before." But he didn't realize the power of God was gone from his life. I'm thinking for just a moment, we can come into church. We can sit. We can enjoy the singing. We can sing with the different ones. But I'm wondering, is the power of God in your life? Or has sin taken a toll in your life? We need to examine ourselves while we have opportunity. Samson, the last part of his life, we see that they've put out his eyes. He no longer can see. We see there's a piece of wood where they chained him up. And on the end of the chain, there's a millstone. And they would come and dump the grain in there. And Samson literally is taking that piece of wood and going in circles, walking around and around, working more or less for the enemy, grinding meal there for the enemy. I'm just thinking for a moment, do you realize that sin will make you begin to work for the enemy? Do you realize sin will go ahead and blind your eyes to what is truth and what is there of the light? You realize sin will go ahead and rob you of your fellowship with God? I'm saying while you have opportunity, take advantage and examine yourself. There comes a day when time will be no more. There comes a day when you might not be able to enjoy the service. There comes a day when you might not be able to encourage a sinner. There comes a day when you won't be able to express sorrow. There comes a day when you won't be able to examine yourself. And I leave you this thought. There comes a day when you won't be able to be entreated for salvation. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 3, it says this: today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. From what I can derive from that passage of Scriptures and other passages meaning the same thing, showing the same thing, some of the exact phrasing, it shows that God doesn't always speak in every service. I've been in church services where I'm preaching, and there's some folks there enjoying it. There's some folks, they're looking at their or pulling out their phone and looking at what time it is. I've been in services where folks are just smiling, rejoicing over the message, and then others, they're going ahead, Facebooking and everything else, texting, all, they can't wait till everything get over. Not all the time can you hear the voice of God. Not all the time can you hear God calling you to be saved. Oh, this evening, if you're not saved, today, right now, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul had opportunity talking to a governor. His name was Felix. Felix heard a lot of things about Brother Paul. He heard that there was miracles that was worked by Brother Paul. He heard about great things that has taken place. And so he called for Paul, and there it is. Paul gave him the gospel. If you read Acts 26, he began to expound the Word of God. He began to show Felix how he could be saved. He talked about the death, the burial, the resurrection. That is the gospel. He told him about the Lord Jesus, how He came and He died. He rose again on the third day, and he went ahead and gave the opportunity for Felix to be saved. And Felix said this: at a more convenient time, I'll call you. It's just not convenient right now. more when it's a more convenient time, I'll get saved. I've searched this Bible over and over. I've read through this Bible from front to back many times. And I never found the convenient day came for Felix. I'm saying today, if you're here, you've never been saved. Today, if you hear His voice, oh, you realize you're lost. You realize you need to be saved right now. You realize if death was to come, if you took the last breath right now, and you realize I'm going to be in hellfire, today you need to get saved by the grace of God. Today's the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. The clock is ticking. Time is moving on. Time is marching on. But one day time will be no more. The God of eternity past, the God of eternity future, for about 6,000 years has stepped out of that corridor and placed Himself in time. And there's coming a day when God's going to step out of that time. And the time will be no more. I start to think for just a moment. Have you ever thought about the songs about heaven? You know, there's a lot of different songs about heaven. I think about the one, I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside. I think about those different songs of meeting in the morning over there on the other side in the morning. You know, you never find the songs of heaven talking about an evening time. You say, why? Because when God steps out of time, there is no such thing as night and day, but there's one everlasting morning. There's one everlasting day. Oh, and I want you to know, I'll meet you in the morning. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. What a great day that's going to be when God steps out of time. The clock is ticking. Time is moving. But one day time will stop and it'll be no more. Could I say tonight, you need to engage in the service of the saints while you have opportunity. Get involved, you have a chance. Take a part, get involved with something, do something for the glory of God. While there's an opportunity, while there's an opportunity, encourage a sinner to come to Christ. There's neighbors, there's loved ones, encourage a sinner. While there's an opportunity, express your sorrow. While time is still ticking, examine yourself. And while time is still ticking by, you need to go ahead and entreat the Lord for salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The God of eternity past stepped out of that corridor, placed Himself in time. But Revelation 10 verse 6, we notice He's going to step back out into that corridor and time will be no longer. Are you ready for that day to take place? You say, Brother Aguirre, there's some things I need to do. There's some things I need to get right. There's some people I need to talk to. There's some different ones maybe I need to express sorrow. And tonight, let's go ahead and just make it right with God. Time will be no more. Would you stand with me tonight, everyone standing? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, the clock is ticking. Lord, time is marching on. And Lord, one day time will be no more. I'm just wondering, are we ready for that? Lord, while we have opportunity, Lord, we need to take advantage of the spot of time. We need to get involved in the service of the saints. There might be some different ones here, and maybe, Lord, you want them to join this church, take part in this membership. Lord, while they have opportunity, Lord, while the clock is ticking, they need to get involved. They need to take part. There's some here, maybe they need to get more involved. Maybe they need to get involved doing some things. Lord, I just pray Thy will might be done. Lord, while there's still time, sinners can get saved. We got to express, Lord, we got to go ahead and encourage them to come to Christ. Lord, the clock is ticking. Have you spoken to hearts tonight? I pray folks might respond to the message of the Word of God. Would you bless the invitation? We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Piano's playing tonight. She plays tonight. God's speaking to your heart. Why don't you let the Lord have His way? The clock is ticking tonight. Would you let the Lord work in your life? Might be that you need to go and say, listen, I want to just get some things right. It might be you need to go ahead and tonight when you get home, tell someone about the good grace of God. The clock's ticking. One day time will be no more. Would you let the Lord have His way? Would you let Him speak to your life? Piano's playing, and Father, I pray the will of God may be accomplished tonight. Lord, You're going to step back in that corridor of eternity. Father, we need to make the decision now. Lord, our life will soon be past. Time will run out on our life, and only what's done for Christ will last. Lord, may the will of God be done. Lord, there might be one here never been saved. I pray they'll come to Christ. Would you bless this invitation? We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. She's playing hymn number 306 tonight. Old familiar song, 306. Let's sing this song together if you would.